Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Can you imagine a world where the pill bottles gather dust on your shelves and become relics of the past? Like a society where we realize that the very answer to liberation from chronic disease may actually lie within us. Pormina Perry is a health maven with an audacious mission to help women go medication-free by resetting their hormonal imbalances in just 87 days. Based out of Australia, she's a certified practitioner in both the energetic breakthrough method and hormonal balance. What sets her apart is her personal journey with various medical conditions. And a turning point came when her mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and that drove Pormina to dive deep into research, get certified, and most importantly, transfer her own health. She managed to shed 30 kilos, that's 66 pounds, and free herself from a life tied to medication. I definitely want to hear about that, and we're going to talk about it. Today, she's here to unlock the Pandora's box of hormone health for all of us, and men, that includes you too. So hold on to your seats. You're about to learn why life in its most vibrant form may well be tied to hormonal reset. Here we go. Wormina, I am happy to have you here. Thank you for being up so early in the in Australia.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Michael. It's truly an honor to be part of your podcast and share my expertise.
Okay, well, I want to start out in our traditional way, a new tradition, old tradition, but traditional now. I want to ask you the very first question is, who do you want to do a shout out to?
I would say my mom, because my journey, she's the inspiration behind who I am today. And of course, it's my husband too, who supports me immensely in anything that I do. So, two most important people of my life.
Mom and husband, welcome to
Yeah.
the
Thank
show.
you.
Let me ask you, let's start out like, okay, just let's start from the very beginning. Share the moment like you realized that conventional medicine wasn't the only answer to your health challenges.
It was during my second pregnancy. It was in 2015 when I conceived my second child, and then the routine blood test that you have to do to ensure that everything is fine with the pregnancy showed that I have high TSH levels. TSH is thyroid stimulating hormone. So it's then that I realized that, if during the pregnancy, and there is this, the moment somebody hears of thyroid, at least I have heard a lot number of times that once on thyroid, always on thyroid medication. So that said, being pregnant with it, which is an absolute beautiful news, and then being diagnosed with thyroid was a big no-no for me, but I had no choice but to take those pills to ensure that my pregnancy was without any hurdles. So that's the starting point, at least subconsciously, when I think about, this is not the place that I want to be in, but I had no choice at that point in time. But that's the trigger.
Wow. What were like the darkest days that you had, because you had multiple things that were affecting you, and what was it that really got you into the mindset of gotta change?
So, post the delivery, so through pregnancy, I did enjoy my entire pregnancy. I didn't want to stress about, oh, I'm taking pills, because mentally I had told myself that after pregnancy, I will be going off it. Now, I don't know why I did that, but probably because I never liked taking medication. I thought I will find a way, or I was so innocent that I perceived that post-pregnancy, my thyroid levels would come back to normal, because it was only identified through pregnancy that it had risen up. So, but through after the pregnancy, what I realized was, or rather what I did was, I actually stopped the medication without consulting my GP, my gynec, and I also fell into postpartum depression, which means I was crying for no reason. And I still remember the day when my mom was about to leave to her place, and then I cried and asked her not to go. Now, I don't know why I cried. Even till date, I would not be able to say the reason, but I knew something was off in me. And then my mom said, are you taking the thyroid medication? Did you get your numbers checked? I said, no, I haven't got it checked. And then the numbers were really soaring high. Now, this is after a couple of months after delivery is what I'm talking about. So it, the postpartum depression and with what I was going through with my mood swings, my thyroid numbers, I was like, enough is enough. There has to be some way out. It cannot be that I have to be through the medication for life. And then came the ankylosing spondylitis, which according to doctors is autoimmune disease. Disease is classified as autoimmune when the doctors or the medical fraternity cannot identify a reason behind it. And I was put on steroids, and I think it was a complete hilabu of journey that I had with thyroid, with postpartum depression, with ankylosing spondylitis, and the aches and pains that I was carrying in my body that I had to make a call of enough is enough. There has to be another way out. And let me tell you, I was in my early 30s, probably 30, 31 back then, that I was going through all of this. And there was this fear of, if I'm like this in my early 30s, what's going to happen to me in my 40s and 50s and later part of life?
So I have a question for you. One of the things that you said is that you stopped taking your medication.
Yes.
Okay. And that was your own decision, not your doctor's decision, right?
Yes, I would say never, ever do that. I did that. And let me put it this way. Probably I did that. And that is the reason today also I'm off medication. But otherwise, I would say that's not the right way of handling things.
Okay.
It is good to consult your GP, good to consult your gynec before you do that. It was an unconscious mistake from my side with the quest of wanting to see myself go off medication. So not something that I'd recommend off.
Did you go back on any of the medication after you stopped it? Or at some point, did you just say, you know what, we've got to work on the hormones first and then we'll see what happens?
Yes. So with all the drama that I was creating in my life, which is crying and, you know, not being able to take care of my second child, being frustrated most of the times, having issues unwantedly, I had to bring myself back on medication. So I was taking a high dosage of thyroxine, 50 micrograms of thyroxine. Yes. And then I had decided that, you know, unless consciously a doctor tells me that you can bring yourself out of it, I will not be stopping it. So I started working on understanding. I was talking to several people, which is something we do. I was Googling to identify, can we go off those pills? I was talking to people who were struggling with thyroid. And every time I was disappointed because the answer always was, once on thyroid medication, always on it.
I have heard that so many times. Yes.
Yes. And every time I heard it, Michael, I would be like, oh my God, there has to be a way out. It cannot be possible that you, once you get into it, you have to always take it. And my quest has always been to identify.
Okay. So what actually made you look at hormones as an answer to all the problems that you were having? How did that happen?
Probably for me, my problems mattered, but what mattered most, or what actually allowed me to dive deep into hormones to understand why we have imbalances, what it does, is my mom's situation. So my mom is a very hale and healthy person who takes care of her diet, who does exercises, who is not overweight and has always been active all through her life. So she has taken care of us, raised us, has done, has traveled 200 kilometers on a daily basis. It's difficult for me to convert it into miles, but 200 kilometers every single day, so that, you know, she doesn't have to go and stay somewhere else and we stayed in another city. She has traveled up and down so that she was with us, and she has done all of it. How one night, I would actually call it as an overnight. It was on the morning of 9th January 2019. I remember it so well because it's my elder son's birthday. It was my elder son's 7th birthday, when the mood and the aura was all about celebrating. And my dad broke the news of my mom's MRI report wasn't sounding good. Now, when I said wasn't sounding good, he said there is a tumor. And mentally, when you hear the word tumor, you switch off ourselves, because we perceive that to be cancerous for whatever reason. Unfortunately, in my mom's case, it turned out to be the truth. So it was a malignant tumor, and we were also told that's not the origin of it. And long story short, when mom was diagnosed with it, she was actually bedridden at that point in time because there was a tumor that was sitting in her spine, which was not allowing her to move. Can't move. She had to be bedridden most of the times. Only walk, only get up for her basic necessities of life. So when that happened, I had got my first job in Australia. So like I said, it was a moment of celebration where my son's 7th birthday, my first job in Australia that I was joining in a week's time. And on the other hand, mom's news broke. So I had no choice, and I'm so glad that I had no choice, and I took that decision to leave my first job and go back to being with mom.
So
then
But what really got you into the hormone part, though? I mean, that's not the first thing I would think of. Usually I would think of something like, you know, I don't know, whatever kind of Eastern medicine out there, meditation, yoga, exercise, herbs. How did you get to hormones?
Yes. So I go back to with my mom's elaborative study that the doctors had to do. Again, there is a lot of perception with cancer as well that we think when a person is diagnosed with cancer, they're immediately put on chemo. Not all need to go through chemo. So my mom's oncologist was very keen to understand where the root cause is, what type of cancer it is, what treatment does it need. And she was fortunate enough to not go through the chemotherapy. Not in the form of IVs, but she was put on medication. So when that was done, we were looking at her estrogen, progesterone levels. When we were identifying what sort of cancer it is, we were looking at, is it ER positive or PR positive? What is, how is it balanced, etc. And that kind of drove me to understand what exactly is estrogen, what is progesterone, what happens in our body, how testosterone works in a woman's body, what. So that's the trigger for me to get into studying or understanding more of hormonal health.
And then, so when did you actually go on the internet and look? Did you look in, talk to doctors? Why was it the hormones? Was it because of the thyroid stuff that you were going through, or what?
So thyroid as well, hormone, and with mom as well, I was told it's because of the hormones, estrogen and progesterone, and an imbalance in it. So when that was told to me, of course, I went on to internet. That's what most of us do. While I'm not someone who believes everything that's on internet, I choose what to believe. So that's something I think it's a strength in me. So I don't allow internet to control my thoughts. I pick things while I do get scared after I have seen my mom's situation. But I do get allow myself not to be controlled by what is being shown, but my study and research started there to understand what exactly are hormones.
So when you started at first, you were doing the hormone therapy for your mom. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. So mom was going through hormone therapy and not chemotherapy. So that's also a kind of, you know, not all cancers need to go through chemotherapy. It's just a perception that we carry, that I carried at least. I don't know, probably you might be aware of other things, and our viewers might be aware of, you know, there are several things if one gets diagnosed with cancer. But what I thought was it's just chemotherapy. That's what I have heard and seen, etc. So when mom was put on hormone therapy tablets, I was like, oh, wow, this is something very interesting. She doesn't have to go through chemotherapy, and there is an alternate way of treating it. So what exactly is hormone therapy? What happens in it? How does that therapy impact her hormones? I started studying of that as well.
Okay. And so what was the things that you were seeing happening as were the hormones taken intravenously, or were they taken by mouth, or how were the hormones taken?
It was taken by mouth, and it was one tablet at the same time every single day for mom for her to get started with. So and I was like, oh my goodness. So if this is some medicine has advanced so much that we don't really know much of it. We are not aware. And I think we are not aware because we don't have to be aware about it. But like I said, there are so many therapies, and it's only then that I realized that there are so many therapies to treat a cancer. And each cancer is looked at differently. And it's not just the chemo that we perceive is the solution mm-hmm. for any sort of cancer. So it was a pill that she was taking at the same time every single day. And that actually supported her heavily, along with radiotherapy that she was going through. And we were also looking at alternate forms, which is something, you know, meditating and sujok, where you go through the needle therapy, acupuncture, to be honest, to be precise. So mm-hmm. these are all the methods also that we tried. We did not stick to one particular thing, but these are also the methods that we explored to heal her tumor.
So what was the thing that you actually, you saw her getting better, I'm assuming, but you can tell me if I about that. And then you just decided to try it yourself. Is that what happened?
Yes. So definitely mom was getting better with the treatment that she was put into. So when, from being bedridden in January 2019, April, she started actually walking without any support, which by itself is a huge success. Yeah. So from there on, it has been on the positive scale, where in 18 months, she went into a state of remission medically, which means there were no active cancer cells in her body any longer. Wow. So that's a huge accomplishment. Now, today, if someone asks me what allowed her to get into that state, one, it's definitely her willpower. So she's a very, very strong woman. And I always think if I get even 25% of what she is, mm-hmm. I would probably be a different girl. But yeah, that said, so it's the willpower that she had. And I think even the support system plays a huge role. Me being with her, taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of, taking her from one doctor to the another doctor, one therapy to another therapy, being that friend face, speaking to people, asking them not to bother her. All of these also plays a huge support mentally for the person. So when we did all of that, there was huge improvement. And like I said, the meditative practices that she put herself into to calm herself, to calm her soul, also started to heal her internally. So it's a mix of everything. I cannot pick one particular thing and say that, you know, hormone therapy medication was the only reason. No, there are N number of people who have taken that and have not been able to sustain. I think it's majorly her willpower coupled with hormone therapy, radiotherapy, the acupuncture I was talking about, and the meditative practices that she was going through, and how she allowed herself to heal from within.
That's amazing. Amazing. So at what point did you say you wanted to try it yourself?
While that was the trigger, and then I thought, oh, if this is how, and I also started to understand why imbalances happen. I told you a little while ago that, you know, she was very good with her diet. It's not that she used to eat junk. It's not that, you know, she did not exercise. She was very conscious of what she was eating, how she was exercising. And mm-hmm. we also perceive that if we eat right and if we exercise right, we do not get any ailments. But that was not the case with her. When she was diagnosed with an ailment, she was diagnosed with a life-threatening ailment, yes. Right? So that allowed me to further dive deep into why any ailment comes and sits in our body. And that is when I realized that human beings, the way we put ourselves into that stressful zone is the major contributor of any hormonal imbalances okay. that can happen within the body. It's a chemical change, like when cortisol hormones, which is the stress hormones, when it dominates your entire body, bloodstream, the other hormones like estrogen, progesterone, etc., kind of, you know, go, if I have to explain, goes and sits to a corner. And the body is totally dominated with the cortisol hormone, giving rise to energetic knots. I will dive deep into it. But yeah, giving rise to energetic knots. They go and sit as different emotions in the body. And those are the reasons why diseases actually pop up in the medical reports. And so that point in time, you know, when mom started to see changes, I was like, if you're able to see this, how about working on myself? I was still taking thyroid medication then, and I was going through a lot of emotions myself, supporting my mom. My brother was there, but he was working, so he could come on and off. But with me being a 24/7 with mom, I was going through a lot of emotions myself and could not really portray them all in front of mom. So when I was going through all of these, and once I returned back to Australia, which is 6 months from January, July, I started to work on understanding what is it that I can do for myself.
Gotcha. What was the first thing that you did do?
Honestly, when I came back from India, where my mom lives, I went into depression, and that's because I had taken too much of load on myself. So when I had visited the GP over here, I had visited her in a place where she said that I would be classified as clinically depressed and put on probably pills, antidepressants, if I do not bring myself out of it. And when I look back, or at that point in time, all that I knew was not another medication and definitely not antidepressants. So the first thing that I did was, for I was not working. So since I let go of my first job, I had to look for another job when I came back. So I told my husband, I will take some time. I'm not going to look immediately. But first, I want to set my mental health right. And that's when I started to do things that I loved doing but could not in the last N number of years. So I started baking. I started walking in the nature and going to yoga class. I walked every day, 3+3, 6 kilometers and whatever miles it comes to. And then went to yoga class every single day. I started enjoying birds chirping. So I started doing things which I have never done before. And that actually moved me from where I was, which was going to be clinically classified as depressed, to a person who started to live and enjoy life.
And so were you taking hormones at this point, or you were just understanding that life was better if I start exercising, I start walking, I think more about myself? Is that what really kicked it off, or was it the actual hormones itself?
Yes. So I think that was what pulled me into it, where I started to see shifts, and I aligned it to what I had studied with my mom's situation of what she was going through, why she was going through, how all through her life when we were children, she was always in a stressful situation. Yeah. Remember the 200 kilometers that I spoke, she used to travel. She barely slept for 3.5-4 hours every single day for a couple of years. And sleep plays such an important role for us to heal, for us to burn that fat, for us to recover, right? So when I had uncovered the reasons why mom probably put herself in a place where she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, I knew what I had to not do to put myself into a situation where I would either be classified as clinically depressed or anything for that matter. So that the being with the nature, doing things that I loved, shifted my perspective towards life. I started enjoying, I started being more happy. And then that also allowed me to get intrigued about, you know, what else could I do? How can I now go back to reversing my thyroid? How can I go off those pills? And when I started to see that, you know, I was doing these activities, I was enjoying, my numbers were gradually coming down with the medication, still with the medication. So I visited my GP and asked her, what can we do about this? It's been a while that I have been on this. And she said, if you're able to, you know, manage it, bring it down, we can try, you can try taking alternate days, and slowly we will see if we can reduce the dosage. But she never said, we will bring you off it. She said, we will reduce the dosage. But behind my mind, I was like, no, I'm going to come off it.
Yeah. At the same time, were you actually losing weight? And if so, what were you doing? Were you doing a specific diet, or was it because of the exercise or hormones? What was it that was making you lose the weight at the same time?
Yes. So it was definitely, I mean, walking 6 kilometers every single day also plays a huge role. And then I was doing yoga too. And then I had put myself into different dietary patterns as well. My weight had to come down. During my mom's case, I was probably not 90 kilos. I was little less. I was between 70 to 73 kilos. But still, that was not the ideal weight. Because the main reason being, for even if I kept the weight aside, I was still on those thyroid pills, right? Mm-hmm. So thyroid and weight both go hand in hand. Now I have the awareness that if we work on thyroid, the weight will come down by itself. But at that point in time, I had worked on my weight by doing walking, by doing yoga, by doing Pilates, and my weight was coming down gradually. And on the thyroid numbers, because I was happy, because, you know, I loved myself to be in situations and circumstances where naturally my state of being was laughter, joy, happiness. So, and mom was also actually recovering really well. So that also internally made me feel very happy, very proud of where she is. So all of that was supportive. And together, I would say, as a package, I was able to bring my weight as well down and also my thyroid numbers.
How much do you think it was the happiness and the exercise that really got you and your mom back into good health? And what was it that you think is the absolute key?
I would say it's the state of being. No matter how much exercises you do, no matter how much you're conscious about what you eat, how you eat, if your state of being, which is again, happiness is how I classified myself, joy is how I classified myself, if we do not put ourselves in that state consciously, this all might only work superficially and not show the results that we so desire and deserve.
How do people get to that state that you got to where you could lose the weight and get off the medication?
It's a conscious choice someone has to make. We will have to be aware of the different levels of consciousness that we put ourselves into. So if I have to give the audience a view, usually we are only in two levels of consciousness, which is things happen to me. Like when my mom's situation came, I was like, why does this have to happen to me at a time when I'm actually celebrating my new job? I have to get into it. But then this situation has come, where I have no control, and it always happens to me only. So the level of consciousness that I put myself into was not supportive. It's a victim consciousness where I perceived that things happen to me. And then when I went to being with mom, I thought, okay, now that I'm here, I will do everything by myself, right? I did not care to ask for support. And even if people would come to support, I would be like, that's all right. You're working for my brother. He's working. So you're working. I will take care. I'm here. I will take care. So it's about shouldering the entire thing by myself. And since most of us are in this consciousness, and that is the reason most of the situations, diseases, ailments happen to us. So when I had put myself in the by me consciousness, what happened was I had taken so much load that after a stage, the elasticity of a rubber band can only be to a certain extent, right? So I had gone to an extent where I had lost my elasticity, where I could no longer take it. And then while the probably elasticity of rubber band cannot be rebuilt, I had to rebuild mine. And that's when these are all from the energetic breakthrough method that I have allowed myself to study, where based on the consciousness that you are in, your state of being happens. The more we are into the to me consciousness, we are thinking about, things happen to me, and we get upset with anything that happens around us. By me consciousness, we again get upset because we are like, I have to do, the government doesn't do anything. I have to do this. I have to do that. So that when you realize that, Michael, it's easy for someone to then put themselves into a state that is the state of being, of joy, happiness, love, laughter.
What is the opposite of the things happen to me? In other words, a lot of people are like, my car got wrecked today, or my dinner is burned, or I've got to pick people up. What's the opposite of these things keep happening to me? How do you get out of that state and into, is it things happen for me? Is it things happen against me? Are these things that happening? What is it? How do you stated.
Yeah. Yes. When you ask this question, the first thing that comes to me is, you know, there's a brilliant book by Michael, I'm not getting the full name of the person. The book is called, you know, The Art of Detachment. So most of the times we have a lot of attachment to everything, materialistic, non-materialistic, you know, everything for that matter, from a pet to a car, right? We attach ourselves with emotions and we think everything is ours, right? Michael A. Singer. So when we learn the art of detachment, he beautifully explains in his one of his podcasts where he speaks about be an observer of what happens in your life. It can be any situation. The moment you become an observer and observe things, you will know that things happen for a reason. Now, if I give you my example, when with my mom's situation, when I had to let go of my first job, while I lovingly did it, but I also felt that it's the first opportunity that I have got to work in Australia and I'm letting that go. I wasn't sure if I would get anything else after I come back. So, but later did I realize that that opportunity which I let go actually allowed me to step into Australian federal government as my first job, something that people a dream, desire to get into after ages of being in a country. I got that as my first job. I would not have known that then because I don't know. It's something that's coming later. But now when I look at things and if there is something that happens, for example, the car wreck that you told, just a couple of weeks earlier, we just hit the curb and actually had a very minor crash, but it made the car look as if it was a major one because the air balloons had all popped out, opened up. And we were hurt because of the air balloons, but not really hurt because of the crash. And now in such a circumstance, usually I and my husband would be like, what the heck? Why has this happened to us? Now, what do we do? How do we take it forward? But this time, rather, we were like, okay, we have been part of this. We are safe, which is excellent. I'm so grateful that nothing has happened to me and my husband. And that said, we will stay as an observer to understand what's the next step. That also allows you to think from clarity rather than creating confusion and putting yourself in a state of where you know there is no clarity and you get frustrated easily.
I got you. I've asked this question to a lot of people and the answers are always illuminating. Let's say that you're on stage and there's a microphone, you're on stage and it's a big stadium. There's 100,000 people, 200,000 people. And no matter what you say into that microphone, there's wires running to everyone's brains and they're going to listen, believe, and do and act whatever you say. It's almost like mechanical hypnosis. They're going to be yours. What do you say to those people? And what is your desire for that people outlearn?
The first thing that I would do is, and this comes very intuitively for me, is ask them to have their feet on the ground, close their eyes, take a deep breath in, observe what's happening over here, and clear all that out to be able to be present in the room for me to next say what I would like to. That most of the times we put ourselves with hundreds and thousands of thought, and no matter what someone says, it's difficult for people to get into that state of being. So for them to be there, it's about clearing everything. It's a clutter in the mind that we have most of the times, and clearing that clutter, being in that state, and probably after that, it's about anything that you say gets absorbed into the DNA.
What are you going to like say anything to them? Like, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What is the message that you want to give them so that they all believe?
I think it's more about, you know, this message where I would say it's definitely regarding health because that's the place that I come from. And many of us perceive that we want several things in life, from good jobs to good cars to probably a good house to good family to good relationship. My strong belief is once they put in themselves, once I allowed them to put themselves into that state, my thought that I would want to imbibe into their DNA would be, if there is no health, it does not matter how much of anything else you have. Because if that goes inside, I think people know what to do.
Okay, awesome. I want to learn a little bit more about you. I want to dig deeper into who you are. And we're going to play a little game called This or That. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a question. I'll give you two choices. Choose one or the other, but you can't choose neither or both. So
I'm excited. Let's
see what happens. Thyroid health, food or lifestyle?
Lifestyle.
Okay. Hormonal imbalance, awareness or ignorance?
Awareness.
Awareness, definitely. Artificial sugars or artificial sweeteners? Natural sugars or artificial sweeteners?
Natural sugars.
Okay. One more easy one. How about as far as holistic health, Eastern or Western approach?
You said I cannot choose either, but if only there was a choice, cultural.
Cultural. Okay. Yep. What, to explain that, what's the difference between cultural, Eastern, Western?
So I come from an Indian ethnicity, right? Okay. So it's neither Eastern, neither Western. So our choices are different. So, and this is something that I also focus a lot in my coaching, where I say you have to stick to your cultural food patterns and not get carried away by one sort of food pattern, which would probably help with weight loss or hormonal balances. So that's why it's cultural. Something that we have been eating from childhood, something that we love eating.
I that's a good answer. Okay. Stress management, yoga or meditation?
Meditation.
Okay. Weight management, hormonal balance or exercise?
Hormonal balance.
Okay. And you did that as well as exercise when you were losing your weight, right?
Yes.
Okay. How about thyroid issues, genetic or environmental factors?
Environmental factors, 100%.
Really? So what do you talk to your doctor and like, have you gotten off your medicine now for thyroid?
And this September, it would be more than 3 years that I have gone off medications. And this time my doctor asked me to go off them. So it was a journey. I could not pull myself off it immediately when I started with the awareness of hormonal imbalances, worked on myself through the energetic breakthrough method, modalities and principles, and, you know, dropped weight, etc. So it was a journey. I was pulled from 50 micrograms to 37.5, 25 micrograms of dosage, and then went on alternate days, and then stopped taking it for 3 months, tested, and the journey from there has been beautiful because I have no longer had to take.
Wow. Okay. Let's talk menopause then. How about natural remedies or lifestyle changes?
One question that makes me think, lifestyle changes.
Yeah. What kind of changes should people make?
Very simple one. The point that people think is, you know, that life is very complex. We might want to ask if we have complicated it or life is like that. Probably for some of them, I would agree. But still, I would say we have the choice. Today morning, we had this interview at 5:30 a.m. I had the choice to say a yes to you or a no. Right? 5:30 a.m. is not easy to be dressed and look like this and having this conversation for more than the time that we have been doing, more than half an hour, right? Yeah. So we always have the choice in life, and it is up to us of what we would love to choose, what we want to choose. Now, that said, with lifestyle changes that we are talking about, very small changes, the ones that I incorporate are every day morning, I start my day with intention setting and not by scrolling through this.
Okay.
I don't scroll through this in bathrooms and toilets. So, I consciously meditate for 30 minutes at least, because that allows clarity of thoughts. So these are all small, small lifestyle changes which can be incorporated by anybody if we want to choose.
Okay. How about for fertility, holistic practices or diet changes?
Holistic practices.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe let's a couple thought-provoking questions. personalized medicine or collective well-being?
Collective well-being.
Explain that one.
So personalized medicine, while personalized medicine might be the way for someone to get started, like I had to get started. Now I had no choice when I had been put in the medication, because if my fetus had to survive, I had to take the medication. Okay. Now, collective well-being for me is the well-being of me, my family, my near and dear ones. And that comes when I'm able to inculcate those lifestyle shifts and changes and reflect it outside to my community. Okay. Right. So when I reflect that, most of the times we think, I go back to the to me by me consciousness, that this person is not good to me, or, you know, it always happens to me. But if we allow ourselves to dive deep into, and if we are able to project those vibrations, energetic vibrations of being happy, being in a state of joy, not being stressed, learning how to tackle stress, the collective well-being obviously would allow us to always float in a place that we thought was never possible before.
Awesome. So, about preventative care, overrated or underrated?
Did you say preventive care?
Preventative care.
Underrated.
It is, right? I think we need to... It's interesting that we go to doctors when we're sick instead of going to doctors to, like, check our wellness and make sure that we're okay. I would love to see that change.
We are very reactive as humans. Mm-hmm. We are not proactive. We are very reactive as humans.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about emotional eating. Emotional awareness or hormonal regulation?
Emotional awareness.
Okay. How so? I mean, I realize that I'm hungry, but not. I'm just bored and I want to eat.
Yes. So most of the times, again, this is something even till date, I fall into the emotional eating habit. We are driven by our thoughts. So let's say I'm working today, and then there has been some disagreement between me and my colleague, and that's been bothering me, or I have a deadline that needs to be completed, or my child has done something that I'm upset about, right? The immediate response, body's response would be, let me go and pick something and satisfy myself. That's very unconsciously we do that. Now, this is not even necessary when the situations are sad, angry, or frustrated. This is also the same when the situations are very happy, joy too. For both of these, we put food as a place, food as a choice of wanting to satisfy our emotions rather than eating it for the sake of satisfying our hunger.
Yeah, I get that. And I still want to eat pizza and feel good. So it's a very hard thing to do. Maybe a couple more. Body positivity. Helping or hindering hormonal health?
Helping.
It is. Okay. Last one. Untapped potential. Mind or body?
Mind.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, give us the lowdown on mind versus body.
We humans, I think there is a lot of studies, scientific researches that has been done and proven with technology of late. But what I would say with my personal experience is, I never ever thought I could be a coach and coach hundreds of women across the globe. I never thought I could be an author. My book sells on Amazon and it's transformed women's life. I never thought I would get Business Person of the Year award, etc. Right? So there's a lot of potential lying in each one of us, only if we have that awareness of that it is there and we allow ourselves to tap into it. That's why I said meditation instead of yoga, because the more we put, and meditation is conceived in a wrong way. Meditation needs not be sitting under the tree and just not doing anything for hours together. No, meditation can be just 10 minutes of calmness, subtleness, and then bringing in clarity of thoughts and intuitively doing things that you know will work. So it's definitely the untapped potential that we have in us.
That is amazing. Purnima, I want people to be able to stay in touch with you. And we've got your websites here. I'm going to spell this out because there are people who are listening. Pornima Vamsi is P-O-O-R-N-I-M-A, and then Vamsi, V-A-M-S-I.com. Okay, so you guys remember that. The next one, of course, we want you on Instagram, Pornima Hormone Coach. And then those are all spelled normally. And then we've got your LinkedIn, which is a little more difficult. Pornima dash Vamsi dash 918-222-1A9. Is that a secret code or something? Or is that
I think LinkedIn's secret code? So yeah.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming on so much. It has been like amazing just talking to you, and I've learned stuff, and I love the this or that answers and questions. Thank you so much.
I loved being part of it. I have been part of good podcasts, and I have loved every presence of mine. This has been very different and a funny way of looking at things with Michael. Oh my God, this has been brilliant, especially this and that. It allowed me to think and then put forward my thoughts, which is good. Most of the times we randomly give answers, but yeah, I just took a couple of seconds where I know what my answer would be. So thank you so much, Michael, for having me on your show. It's been an honor and privilege.
Excellent. I'm going to have to get back to you because I'm going to have to look at how I can get off the medications that I'm on. So we're going to have to talk about it for sure. So,
of course.
For all you guys that can't see on the screen, I'm scrolling across. We've got a brand new newsletter that just came out for A Funny Way of Looking. You can go to www.afunnywayoflooking.news instead of .com. And you can sign up there. It'll take you to the show. You can see all the past episodes, all kinds of fun stuff. So that's it, everybody. Loved the show today. Pornima, we will see you in the future. Thank you again very much.
Okay. My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Let's roll this out of here.